Here in the living room, we're going through the Gospel of John, and so far in the Gospel, we're in the fifth chapter, and there are five main characters with speaking parts who are not Jesus. Five people that Jesus interacts with a lot up to this point, and have you ever stopped to compare and contrast them? It's really fascinating, and we're going to look at some of these characters in this Gospel of John tonight, right here in the living room.
Come on in to The Living Room with Dr. Douglas Cowan. Dr. Cowan is our pastor, a family therapist, and our director of ministry for 88.3 Life FM. Everybody has a mentor. Everybody is learning how to live life from somebody. Here in The Living Room, we encourage you to live life fully by allowing Jesus Christ to be the mentor for your life. Now, come on in to The Living Room with Dr. Doug Cowan.
We have lots and lots of people who come to our living room throughout the week, and you're welcome to join us here this evening. We have people who come up here for counseling. We get to help them through some difficult times that they're going through, and so here they are in the living room throughout the week. And of course, weeknight Bible studies we have here in the living room, and we have a home church that meets here about twice a month. Once a month, we meet down in the park in Tehachapi, and a couple of times a month, we meet here in the living room. And on Sunday evenings, we invite you to relax right there on the sofa. Put your feet up, spend some time being refreshed for the week ahead. So come on in to the living room.
Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I know that you are always right beside me, and I will fear no You're my rock and my strength, you comfort me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, I hear you singing over me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, and it's beautiful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, it covers every part of me. My soul is silent, I am found, and it's a beautiful sound. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. Carry me through the waters where your peace clears away all my sorrow. Nothing can separate us from your life. Oh, your love, it will always be. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, I hear you singing over me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, and it's beautiful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, covers every part of me. My soul is sodden, I am found, and it's a beautiful sound. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. You were healing in the pain, you were shelter in the storm.
That's Citizen Way with a timeless truth, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And here in the living room, we have been going through the Gospel of John, and we are at the fifth chapter. At this point, we want to just share this with you. And so far in the Gospel of John, if you've got to the fifth chapter, you'll see five main people outside of Jesus, five main characters in this gospel that interact with Jesus or talk about Jesus or that Jesus spends time with. And it is just fascinating to see who these people are and how Jesus interacts with them. The very first one in this is John the Baptist, and we see him in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And John the Baptist talks about, in the third chapter, he talks about who Jesus is and how his ministry needs to expand. The first time we see John the Baptist, he is preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. And then when the Messiah comes, Jesus, he introduces him to everybody. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And then we see him again in chapter 3, and this is where John's investors, John's the people who are supporting his ministry, come to him and say, hey, you've got a lot of people coming for baptism here, but the guy that you pointed out, he's downriver a couple miles, and he is attracting lots and lots of people too. And the way they ask it is sort of like, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about this competition in ministry? What are you going to do about this new church just down the street, would be the modern question now. And John's reply is, a man can only receive what is given to him from heaven. In other words, John draws a circle around his ministry and says, this is the ministry God's given me, and that is not the ministry God's given me. So I'm going to do the best I can with the ministry that God has given me. And Jesus respects that so much, honors that so much. In fact, he says that John is like the coolest guy ever born. That's how Jesus honors John the Baptist. And then we see Jesus in chapter 3 interacting with this brainiac, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is the head of the theology department for the nation of Israel. Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel. He's well respected. He's a Jew's Jew. Everywhere he goes, he is honored and respected and well thought of. And people sit at his feet and want to know his teaching. And he comes to Jesus representing a group of people. We don't know who those other people are, but he comes to Jesus representing a group, comes at night, and Jesus starts to explain to him a whole other part of reality that Nicodemus never thought of, the spiritual part of reality, the wind that blows. You can't see it, but you see its effects. Nicodemus, there's this whole world that has to do with the Spirit of God, and you must be born again into this world, where the Spirit of God redeems people, changes people, shapes people, molds people. You must be born again into this part of reality. You've been born once of water, now you have to be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. And as Jesus is explaining spiritual truths to him, Nicodemus's reply is, how can this be? He thought he knew everything there was to know about God and about religion, and Jesus is explaining to him there's a whole part of reality you just don't know yet. But Nicodemus, you've got to be born again.
I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you, and I'm all around. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your breath, and I am with you more than you know. Lift up your weary head, be shaken, you will not be moved, oh. I am the hand to hold, I am the truth, I am the way,
So then the next person that Jesus spends time with is in chapter 4 of John, and this is the woman at the well, and we've talked about her. This is the longest conversation recorded in the Gospel of John that Jesus has with anybody, and she is like the polar opposite of Nicodemus. She's a she, first of all. Nicodemus is a he. This is a woman, and Jewish men didn't just sally up and talk to some woman. They just don't do that. So not only is she a woman, she's a Samaritan woman, the exact polar opposite. Nicodemus, respected Jewish leader, whatever. This woman is kind of an outcast in her town, not respected at all, bottom of the social scale ladder. And Jesus comes to her and says, "Would you give me a drink, please?" And this woman is trying to protect Jesus. "Why are you talking to me? Why are you asking for my drinking cup to give you a drink? You're not even supposed to touch that. And what's the deal? Don't you know the social taboos of your culture and how it relates to my culture? You're not supposed to be talking to a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman." Jesus doesn't care. Jesus wants to engage this person, this woman, because he loves people. And so he engages her in a long conversation about religion, about worship, about the nature of God, and finally about who she is. He comes right to her heart. "This is who you are, but you know what? God loves you." And this woman becomes like the first evangelist. She goes back to the village and she says, "You've got to hear this guy. You've got to hear this message. You've got to hear this prophet who has come." And scripture tells us that many people in this village came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, because first this woman's testimony, and then they came and they heard what Jesus had to say. So the first big outbreak of people following Jesus comes in a Samaritan village, and the first big evangelist is a Samaritan woman.
You're in The Living Room with Dr. Douglas Cowan. We'll have more in just a moment. You can hear The Living Room every week at this time here on 88.3 Life FM. And you can learn more about The Living Room online at thelivingroom.info. Dr. Cowan is a professional therapist, a pastor, and our director of ministry here at 88.3 Life FM. Thanks for listening. We now return to The Living Room with your host, Dr. Doug Cowan.
Hey, this is Ray Ballard, and hey, I wanted to invite you to be part of something very special this summer. You know, we're putting on our fourth annual Kids Crusade in Oildale. You know, the reason why we do this is a lot of these kids, they won't go on vacation. They won't go out of town, much less go out of their own neighborhoods. And so we're trying to create a memorable summer experience for all these kids. And so we're putting on a three-day Kids Crusade. The first day will be, you know, basically kids club, bounce houses, train, a lot of good stuff. And then the next day, we're going to have a dance competition. We're going to have bounce houses, cotton candy, popcorn, just a lot of fun, great stuff. And then the last evening will be our summer splash, where we're going to have water slides, slip and slides, paddle boats, just a bunch of water games. We're going to have food. We're going to have our carnival games going up. Just all kinds of great activities for these kids. And then you know what? We're going to give these kids fireworks. So you could be part of that. All you got to do is just come partner with Operation Soul Winner and let us know what you could do to help.
O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me.
You know when I sit down or stand up.
You know my every thought when far away.
You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest.
Every moment you know where I am.
You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord.
You both proceed and follow me.
You place your hand of blessing on my head.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
Too great for me to know.
I can never escape from your spirit.
I can never get away from your presence.
If I go up to heaven, you are there.
If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there.
If I ride the wings of the morning,
if I dwell by the farthest ocean,
even there your hand will guide me.
and your strength will support me.
I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night.
But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you.
To you, the night shines as bright as day.
Darkness and light are both alike to you.
You made all the delicate inner parts of my body.
And knit me together in my mother's womb.
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex.
Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it.
You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion.
As I was woven together in the dark of the womb.
You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book.
Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
How precious are your thoughts about me, O God.
They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand.
And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
Point out anything in me that offends you.
And lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Psalm 139.
So this brings us to the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. And there are two healings that take place here. And they're interesting to look at because they are, again, entirely different. Compare and contrast them. The people involved, there is a nobleman who comes to Jesus and says that his son is very sick and about to die. And would Jesus please come with him back to his house? It'll take a while to get there, but will Jesus please come with him back to the house and heal his son? So a rich guy, a nobleman, somebody who's well-respected, comes to Jesus. And then to contrast that with, in chapter 5, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda, and he goes to a man who has been crippled for 38 years. He asks this man a powerful question. Do you want to get well? And the man then starts to tell Jesus his life story. And it really starts with this. I have no one.
Well, everybody's got a story to tell. And everybody's got times have you given me strength?
So we have these two men, completely different from each other. One who has lots of people, one who has no one. One who is healthy, but his son is sick. One who has been crippled for 38 years, and no one will help him to get well, to get into this pool of Bethesda. One who seeks Jesus out, and the other, Jesus himself, seeks out. And then when we look at how Jesus heals, they are completely different as well. The nobleman's son, Jesus, does not go to the man's house. Jesus just stays right where he is and says, you know what? Your son is healed. You can go home. He heals him from a distance. But the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus actually travels to this man and finds him and comes to him and says, do you want to get well? And after hearing this man's story about how he has no one to help him, Jesus helps him and heals this man. And he says, take up your bed and go. In the first case with the nobleman and his entire home, his household, the family, the servants, everybody who lives around this guy, they come to believe in Jesus because of this incredible miracle Jesus has done at healing his son. With the man who was healed after being crippled for 38 years, not as many people respect what happens. And we're going to talk about this in just a minute. After 38 years of being crippled, this man is carrying his mat through the temple courts. It's on a Sabbath day, and he is heading home. And he's got his mat because Jesus told him, get up, take your bed, and go. So he's carrying this furniture, however heavy it is, hasn't carried anything in 38 years, hasn't walked in 38 years, and he is now walking out of the temple with his stuff. And the Pharisees come to him, and they don't celebrate with him. The Pharisees come to him and say, hey, you, stop. What are you doing? What are you carrying that mat for? Nobody celebrates with him that he has been healed. They're just mad that he's carrying a mat, on the Sabbath day. They've broken a rule, a custom, and the Pharisees don't celebrate the miracle. So this man is asked, why are you carrying a mat? And he says, because the guy who just healed me after being crippled for 38 years told me, get up and carry it and take it home. So I am obeying him. He does not, notice, he does not drop the mat. He has a choice between impressing the religious leaders who are telling him you're breaking a rule and obeying the one who has healed him after being sick for 38 years. And he chooses to obey Jesus. Listen to me. Jesus has healed us. If you are in Christ, Jesus has healed you for eternity. Focus on following Him. Follow Jesus. Do what He calls you to do and obey Him, because He has healed us.
You have been listening to The Living Room with Dr. Douglas Cowan. Join us in The Living Room every week at this time here on 88.3 Life FM. Dr. Cowan is a professional therapist and our director of ministry at Life FM, and he is available to help your church or business build stronger marriages and families. To contact Dr. Cowan, call us at Life FM at 661-832-2800 or visit us online at kaxl.com. May God richly bless you.